This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit usaa.com/bundle to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, January 31st. The Fantasy Footballers.
Question?
What
it
is,
was, you said
what
that
is time, really?
Almost like you weren't sure if January had 31 days. Like, is that right, or are we on to February 1?
Where does the time go?
I would not be willing to confirm any of the speculation around the way I said the date.
All right. Confirmed.
But some of you could be right. Welcome in, Mike Wright, Jason Moore,
Andy Holloway.
Are you
trying to do the
Andy
knuckle
Holloway.
Trick in your head while you're... January, February.
I just can't believe it's already almost February.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl time, baby.
I know.
Oh, brother.
So, Jalen Hurts is all right.
Yep.
Managed to get through Daniel Jones and Josh Johnson.
You know, he's...
AKA the gauntlet.
I recognize that that is true, but there's too much crap being given for, oh, this is the easiest path. The Eagles were gifted. They blew the socks off of both of those teams. And so... Yeah, you can say
they don't have any socks.
Yeah, they were like, get out of here.
Right, due to the easy nature of those teams.
Well, look, the Giants got to the second round of the playoffs. You know, now in hindsight, we're like, oh, Daniel Jones, so easy.
I think it's more, it's less the reality and actually being a criticism of the Eagles. I don't think anybody disagrees that the Eagles have the best roster in football. I think it's more the comedy of glancing at the playoff matchups and saying, well, you didn't go through Brady and Rodgers, right? It's a quarterback specifically. It's not the teams. It's saying Daniel Jones was the back end of a joke for the better part of his career. And obviously Josh Johnson, no disrespect to the man, you were the fourth option. And
they had to go to the fifth option,
right, which was Brock Purdy without an arm.
Right.
So no, it was, Philadelphia did everything that they could do, and they're favorites in the Super Bowl. I mean, they're 2-point favorites over Kansas City. Arizona is set to be home to a great one. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, the Andy Reid Bowl, the Travis Kelce Bowl. The legacy of Patrick Mahomes again. He can add to it. And
his,
I know the
so his third time there.
Yeah,
so.
Third time in 4 years, and he
that's crazy.
I remember when they won their first Super Bowl, how somewhat disappointed he was that they didn't get to have the fanfare, because it happened to be during the 2020 season when there, COVID kind of stopped the, I guess you would call it the celebration tour.
Yeah, a peopleless parade is not quite as fun as one with crowds and
a peopleless parade.
Yeah, and all the germs involved.
So, I mean, he's sitting here, and I know the play specifically the late hit, which was a late hit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
I know that that play specifically is kind of taking, you know, the majority of the conversation towards the end of the game along with the referees. And, you know, that's what you get in games like this. You get a lot of controversy. But I still, like, Mahomes getting on that ankle to turn the corner. Like, he got around the corner. It wasn't like he got stopped short and then the hit happened. Like, for him to go out with his body in the shape that it was in, it was a heck of a game. Certainly a better game than we got with the unfortunate injury to Brock Purdy in the 49er matchup. But here we are, Kansas City, Philadelphia. Very excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had any more to add.
I was going to say, the Shanahan quarterback magic ended at Josh Johnson. Like, there, honestly, I know some of us, like, people out there, trust me, it's okay to admit it. There was a little bit of us inside that when Brock Purdy got hurt and Josh Johnson came in, you went, well, here, Josh Johnson's about to have some success and make it through to the next round, and then Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. Because backup quarterbacks just come in and dominate, but this, the stakes, I think, were too much for the other team.
The defense.
The other team was too up for the game for that to happen.
Jimmy G did say, quote, I wish I had my helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of...
You wouldn't have believed what I could have done out there.
Then that's... Like, that's the best case scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know.
If I got put in, we would have been there.
And at this point, who the 49ers quarterback is for next year?
Oh, man.
God only knows. I mean, right now, if I had to place money down on it, let's all say a name.
Okay.
Okay, just the last.
At the same time?
Yeah, same time.
Okay.
Let's say a name of who you think will be starting week one of next year, and we'll count it down. Yeah. 3, 2... One, Lance.
Purdy.
So I said Lance.
I said Purdy because I followed your rule of just say the last name. He went full name.
Yeah, that was bad.
So you went to Trey Lance, huh?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
I mean, there are.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's an MRI coming for Mr. Brock Purdy.
Trey Lance can do a lot of things that Brock Purdy cannot.
That's why I think he'll be the quarterback.
But that's just an untested physical skill set. Brock Purdy has now shown that he can do things that maybe Trey Lance can do on the field mentally and working an offense.
Hold on a second. I'm becoming greatly offended. Deucer's Alley is producing some messages in the Slack channel. Andy Holloway noted Trey Lance stan. False. Hey,
There's no shame being over there of what could
just
be.
Just because he starts doesn't mean he'll succeed.
Oh, he probably will.
He probably will.
Yeah. Whichever one of them is the starting quarterback week one will do very well.
Josh Johnson?
Sure.
All right. Moving on. Let's jump into some news. And we have quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
News and notes from around the league.
The coaching carousel is not complete. We still have teams as of this recording, which we're recording the afternoon on Monday, January 30th. But the Broncos, you know, a big opportunity. Arizona doesn't have a head coach yet. But we do have a few announcements. The Panthers have made a decision. They grabbed Frank Reich. He is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Steve Wilks, they're moving on. And quick thoughts on Frank Reich.
I think it's a great hire. I think Frank Reich got the shaft by the Colts. He did not deserve to be fired or deserve to have to go to, you know, rookie quarterbacks and be put in a bad situation. I think he's a solid coach. And they said, the Panthers said from the beginning, they wanted someone with head coaching experience. They went out to the college ranks the time before. They wanted someone that could really, you know, run an NFL franchise with experience. And I think Frank Reich, he was one of the players or one of the coaches I was hoping, you know, could have made his way to Arizona.
And he doesn't have the solidified quarterback situation in Carolina the way that you would have, you know, he certainly was the bad luck loser of the Andrew Luck situation, and it's persisted.
He finds himself right where he left off.
Yeah.
Which is on his knees praying for a quarterback.
Wait. Right, yeah. Reich threw the first touchdown pass in Carolina Panthers history?
That's correct.
That's a fun little trivia nugget.
The Carolina connection apparently allowed him to overlook the lack of a quarterback. Perhaps he will be a player coach. Perhaps he will take over the reins at quarterback.
Carolina is an extremely interesting team. They have a defensive nucleus that you can build around for the future. The offense has, I mean, you at least have DJ Moore, if nothing else. There's a lot of teams that don't have a superstar or a potential superstar wide receiver. They're a little bit away, but also, like, what's going on with that division right now with...
Yeah, Tom Brady leaving.
Even if Tom Brady stays, they were a sub-500 team and won the division. If Tom Brady leaves and then the Bucs are just in a free fall of a scenario, the Saints, they're keeping Dennis Allen. They're a quarterback away. Like, they have... every team in that division has major problems, so why not go and bet that you can turn your team around faster than everybody else?
That's fair. Are we willing to make a commitment here that we can be? Can I get you guys to commit that we can be pessimistic about whatever quarterback starts?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely.
Starts for this.
For sure, I'm in. Okay. I am dedicated to that.
I mean, it's Sam Darnold.
Oh, that's going to be easy then.
I mean, like, that's
Frank Reich's the guy to turn that around.
I mean, like, they have a top 10 pick. Maybe they're real aggressive and they go get the third quarterback, whoever happens to be dropping of kind of the big three right now. But otherwise, it's Sam Darnold, and you're trusting the process for a year, trying to get some experience and then get a quarterback next year.
All right. Well, what else is going on? The Cowboys, they let Kellen Moore go as their offensive coordinator. A mutual parting of ways is what Jason informed me.
Yep.
I
think is great news for Kellen Moore.
This is
bad news for Mike McCarthy.
It's great news for the Chargers because they're hiring Kellen Moore. And to me, this is the like when you're shopping for a car, and you stumble across the really, really nice car that the old person has that they put no miles on it, but they just wanted to change.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of it, and it's got like 5,000 miles on it.
What is this car doing here? This car shouldn't be here.
No, and so it seems like the Cowboys just decided, like, you know, as a habitual thing, like somebody has to take the fall for not winning a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
And Mike McCarthy... the buck stops with him, and so now it will stop with him even further. There's a good chance he'll call his own plays.
Good
luck, Mike McCarthy.
Such great news for the Chargers, for Justin Herbert. I love going from Lombardi to a new thinker, to Kellen Moore. I mean, you look at the offense that Dallas has run over the last several years. They've been top six most of the time when he's been their coordinator, and you know, and that's even dealing with backup quarterbacks taking the field.
Say, I have a tweet here. Matthew Berry laid it out exactly how my frustration, what I've been talking, but here it is on just with some statistics. Kellen Moore, so 4 years as the OC for Dallas, finished top six in points scored in 3 of 4. Led the league in yards in 2 of 4, top 8 in passing yards, 3 of 4, top 10 in rushing yards, 3 of 4, averaged 312 yards a game and went 4-1 with Cooper Rush. Mike McCarthy's final 2 years in Green Bay, 18th in total yards per game, 16th in points per game with Aaron Rodgers, who then went on to be the NFL's back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, Kellen Moore's good. We're pro Kellen Moore.
Coaches don't exist.
Coaches exist, but like it, the hiring of Mike McCarthy, I thought was buffoonery when it happened. Then you had the whole thing of Mike McCarthy was like, "Well, I like basically admitting that he lied during his job interview, still got the job, and now like the good part of the offense, he's like, no, you got to get out of here so I can try and do it."
There are only two types of coaches in the NFL: retreads that don't work out, and young guys that don't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the rest, I mean, that's all there is.
I think there's a third type, which is the guys that don't ever leave because they're good.
But they're so, I mean, when you really think about it, if you added up all the coaches that had head coaching or coordinator jobs over the last 10 years, you can count on one hand how many are in that category.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
your odds of succeeding are essentially nothing.
Yeah, you've got.
Oh, yeah, they're very low. But McVay is still a massive success.
Mm-hmm. Belichick's
I think Staley's the biggest example of, like, how quickly it can turn on somebody.
Yes.
Like, we weren't sure he was getting fired.
And that could easily flip around this year. I mean, Zach Taylor looks like a legit move. I mean, you went from worst to Super Bowl contention year after year. Yeah, they added Joe Burrow, but just adding a franchise quarterback doesn't catapult you to be one of the best teams in the league. So the odds are against you, absolutely. But it can be done.
Yeah, and we'll be here next year talking about a bunch of moves. The Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator.
Let
that breathe a little bit.
Now, you might be saying, wait. Remind me who Nathaniel Hackett is. That's not the guy who was just hired for the Denver Broncos and fired the same year because he was supposed to be an offensive guy. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people believe, whether it's correct or incorrect, when the Broncos were going hard after Aaron Rodgers, that Nathaniel Hackett was hired in part to help be alluring for getting Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the Broncos. Now he goes to the Jets, where there's all these rumors, including, you know, reporting that they would pay the price to get Aaron Rodgers. It's like, okay, Nathaniel Hackett worked with Aaron Rodgers, and that was when he was the back-to-back MVP. He is getting some jobs on the what is his interview process like? I can get you Aaron Rodgers.
My question was, in the job interview, normally at the point where you pull out the wallet and you're like showing photos of your family, is it just
photos of Aaron?
Photos of him and Aaron Rodgers? I'd be like, oh, I can't believe this is still in my wallet. That's so embarrassing. But here we are dominating as the Green Bay Packers offense.
As man. He turns in a resume missing last year.
Yeah. Well, that does exist.
Yeah.
But he's just like, man, imagine if Aaron Rodgers was on the Jets. What could we do with this team? I'll talk to you guys later.
If you're the Packers, you trade Aaron Rodgers now, you get something.
Sure.
Right? And you don't trade him, he's sunsetting next year.
The Packers will absolutely look to trade Aaron Rodgers. They should trade Aaron Rodgers for sure. The question is whether or not Aaron Rodgers gives them enough time
or saying he's coming back.
Because he hasn't made his decision, and they can't, you know, I doubt they're going to get another franchise to trade for him before he's committed to playing, and that's a really tough situation. But the Packers have to trade him. I mean, they just have to. Imagine, like, what do you do with your decision-making process on Jordan Love if he's still...
We're going into year four?
Yeah, they have to make the
decision. Is Garrett Wilson a top 10 wide receiver next year if Aaron Rodgers arrives in New York?
That's
probably
pretty high, but
yeah. I mean, what do you do this year? 1,100 yards.
It will be far more consistent, and you'll have more touchdowns.
What other news am I missing here, Mike LaFleur?
Mike LaFleur, who was removed as the Jets' offensive coordinator, immediately scooped up by the Rams as their new OC, working with McVay.
What are we doing here?
It's musical chairs, man.
And then Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
This one I'm on board with.
Yes.
I'm good with this
one. Bill O'Brien is back in the NFL. Good old Bobby. He's going to be the offensive coordinator again for the New England Patriots. And this has a lot of connections. He's spent the last 2 years as the Alabama OC. So he did not coach Mac Jones. Mac Jones was already in the NFL when Bill O'Brien was the OC. However, there was a relationship there, part of the preparing for the draft situation where Bill O'Brien was in town for Alabama. But, I mean, Bill O'Brien has run successful offenses in the NFL, certainly an upgrade over Matt Patricia and Joe Judge trying to figure out how to run an offense. So I think this is actually a really good hire.
Bill O'Brien's...
I can't wait to see him on the sideline again. I've been missing him.
I feel like Bill O'Brien's true downfall was he thought he had a skill set that he didn't have. And we're all guilty of that from time to time. His just happened to come on a stage where the entire nation looks on and judges if you do something right or wrong. If he had remained...
That skill set you're referring to is general manager?
General manager,
yeah.
Yes. And to be fair to him, a lot of coaches think that they can be the head coach and the general manager, and it turns out, no, you cannot, most of the time. If he had just been the coach of the Houston Texans and someone else had done all the general managing, Bill O'Brien might still be the coach of the Texans.
Yeah, that's true. Deshaun Watson might be the quarterback of the Texans. All right, any other news we need to talk about? Oh, Vic Fangio.
Yeah, that was a big one.
The Dolphins hired Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. Huge hire.
It's a good move.
What a great move, because this is a team. It reminds me a lot of what McVay did when he got Son of Bum. And just hiring a great older You don't like the son of bum?
No, it's I like
go
it
ahead
a lot.
And, go ahead and explain who it is.
Wait, no, it speaks for itself.
Son of bum. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was indeed the son of bum.
Now I don't even know his
Wade
real
Phillips.
Name anymore.
You don't? Yeah.
But he brought in, just a great defensive mind and said, hey, this is your let me do the offense. You just take over the defense. And they had such a great defense that worked with the Rams. This reminds me here of a similar situation. Fangio has a great defense everywhere he is. He's as good as it gets on the defensive side of the ball. And I think he's going to get paid a lot of money to come here and just run that half of the team and, you know, not have any interference whatsoever.
By the way, Wade Phillips has a son of his own, right?
Oh, son of Bum Bum.
Grandson of Bum.
It was a son of Bum.
Son of Bum. Grandson of Bum.
And what was yours, Mike?
Son of Bum Bum.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that one.
I think I win.
Mine's funnier.
Yeah, okay. You win on that. Yep.
All right. We're moving on into the truth.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Harold Wade Phillips.
Harold?
That's his real first name.
Wow.
Son of Bum is now a...
How old is Harold?
You know, he's the head coach of the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, Son of Bum in the XFL.
When does that start? Isn't that coming back sometime?
Eh.
Doesn't The Rock own it now?
I have no idea.
Anybody know?
There's also what's the other
USFL?
One? Yeah, USFL.
Yeah, they keep showing me commercials of that, and they're like, remember this day? And then it's like, who?
Bum
what
is not,
football teams are these?
Bum is not short for Harold.
What? Oh, is Josh trying
to... Yeah, Papa Josh.
Trying to pull a fast
You talk
one.
About skill sets that somebody doesn't have. Get right into humor. All right. We're into the truth episode, part two for the running back position. Jason and I talked through the top 10 running backs last week, if you want to listen to that one. That was Eckler, McCaffrey, Jacobs, Henry, Chubb, Barkley, the combo of Pollard and Zeke we talked about Swift and Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and Dalvin Cook. Woo! We got more names, more people to talk about. And, this year, running back scoring, it was down. Receptions at the running back position, they were down. The average RB2 score this year, 12.2 fantasy points.
That's not great. That's just barely above our good metric for running backs and down from what we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, so we look at the truth data. We break it up into how many games did they give you that were great, which is 21 or more points. 12 points is the threshold for good. 7 or fewer, you busted. All right? And so,
busted.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you see he was, Mr. Gronkowski said he's open to coming back next year. Did you guys catch that?
I did not see that. So he's just wondering where Brady's going?
Stop.
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, he was, if you saw.
Don't forget about me.
He was interviewed and he talked about coming to Tampa and how he pretty much it's the most Gronk thing you'd ever hear. He just let Brady do the research on where to go and just trusted that Brady would pick the right place and he would just go with him. And he's like,
that's the best.
And then he hears, he's like, Tampa? It's like, what? You know, and then he shows up. He's like, and then I realized it was really great.
That's a good life.
Yeah, he's just in his pocket.
That's like when you have your own personal, like you're a travel agent,
mm-hmm.
like your friend. I have a friend of mine and she's like the travel agent for the group.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, hey, we're going to do this, this, this. Like, whatever, man. You just tell me where to go and tell me it's going to be cool. That's amazing. That's
and,
a great
and,
life
and
for
he's,
Gronk.
Gronk is the same age as Travis Kelce. So you have the possibility that he goes somewhere next year and has relevance. Because if he's with Brady, he will have relevance. Brady will just throw him the football. Until they both just...
But what if he goes to the Raiders?
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
I mean,
yeah.
Is there room for Waller and?
Yes.
No, but
there is room for
I mean,
both.
Would you pick up Gronk under that news in Dynasty?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, probably.
Most Dynasty rosters, when you're 30 deep, have cuttable.
Don't look at the tight ends that I pick up during the offseason. It's embarrassing.
All right. Number 11 on our list here, Ramondre Stevenson. All right. He finished at 11. He was drafted in the eighth round by fantasy managers, the RB36 off the board. Obviously, a huge win for anybody that grabbed Ramondre. His consistency rank? This surprises me. It was 16th.
Good or bad?
It surprises me on the bad side simply because I'm looking at his game log. If you go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, we have the consistency chart. And it was really, you know, it was like, seemed like you were happy you started him all but five games.
Yeah, so what happened is three of his last five games he busted, and the first two games of the season before he really took over that role were complete and utter bust. So you've got a pretty high, I mean, on the course of the season, that's 29% of his games that were bust games. And really the second half of the season after their bye week, he had like one really good game. And the rest were either those bust games or mediocre. That being said, he also got injured during that span. And we don't always remember the injuries when they play in the games. Because you look back last year, you know, once we're into 2023 draft season, we're going to look at his game log and see he didn't miss any games. And not remember that he was playing through injury during that stretch where he was bad. To me, the truth of Ramondre Stevenson is more like his first half consistency rank, which he was number 10 overall. I think he was as rock solid as it came, and then he got injured. That's
Damian
the way that
Harris,
I look at his
yeah,
season.
Yeah, no, Damian Harris is a free agent. Ramondre Stevenson is very young. You know, dynasty players want to know what they have in Ramondre Stevenson and what we can expect next year in New England. You have a new offensive coordinator coming in.
You have a stick of dynamite in your hand that may or may not light is what you have with Ramondre Stevenson. Because even going into next year, the Patriots will do something. They'll do something at the running back position. And most of the time when we have that scenario, you can say, oh, okay, well, it wasn't a day to draft capital running back. I'm not going to be very concerned about them eating into the workload of the starter Ramondre Stevenson. But draft capital is switching for running backs. These guys who are they're starting to make a splash getting drafted later, getting drafted on day three. And the Patriots, they're a wild team. You're never exactly sure how they feel about certain players and players who are drafted late taking over the job who you felt like should have had the job. But if Ramondre Stevenson keeps this role, he's going to be fantastic. Now you have an actual OC coming in with Bill O'Brien, and it will be better on offense for him. But you just at any moment there could be another running back who comes in, and Ramondre Stevenson's role completely changes away from what it was last year.
So I have a concern. First of all, he was third most targets at the running back position, fourth most receptions. Awesome, right? A stabilizer. Third most evaded tackles. You watched him play football. You're like, oh, that guy's really good. I need you guys to really, Jason, do you have the same concern about another back coming in and hurting Ramondre that Mike brought up? Because in history past, that's been a regular concern with New England. I don't know why I'm not as concerned about Ramondre's situation, and I think it's because I'm biased.
Yeah, I think that is probably the case.
Are you concerned they spend a pick on somebody significant?
That would be the concern, but if I had to make my bet as to whether or not someone significant comes in, I would bet against that. I do think that they will go into next season with Ramondre Stevenson being the primary guy. They drafted Pierre Strong this last year.
That's exactly what my bias thinks.
A lot of these running backs, you look at Damian Harris. Damian Harris' rookie year was nothing. It was Pierre Strong's rookie year. So, you know, they might draft another round four type of running back or bring in some older veteran. I think Ramondre Stevenson starts next year as the primary dude at running back, and I'll be in on him. But you've got to make your bet. If you're looking at his value in a dynasty, it is not a guarantee. I've seen mock drafts where a great running back is drafted there. You know, you've now got the Alabama connection with Bill O'Brien coming here. So if they draft Jahmyr Gibbs and want him to be the pass catching guy, that would destroy the you know, three down value of Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break and come back with Joseph Mixon.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
not heard.
Wait, you can hear me fine. My button is fully pressed.
Yeah, we can hear you totally fine. You think you got your mute button on there, buddy?
It's definitely.
I've thought for a little bit there could be a mute button problem. But, ladies and gentlemen at home, you got sent to a fine sponsor break. Just beautiful people supporting the podcast. We got a real loud slurp right into the microphone.
It was a pretty big slurp. It was It was like synced up with the music dropping.
It sounded a lot like this.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got? What do you got in the mug?
I got some LaCroix. Key lime.
How do you contain the bubbles? You don't.
They come out the bottom.
You don't burp. I forgot about.
He's like the BFG.
So wait, you could chug like an A&W root beer on the show with no concern. Well, I mean, other than the chugging of the sounds that would then emit. Like you? Do you drink any carbonated during the show?
No, absolutely not.
See, carbonated during the show, Mike. Mike and I have to.
I am almost 100% carbonated during the show.
Yeah, and in life.
And in life.
Interesting.
That's why I'm going to pop.
Someday.
I don't know how to burp.
Someday you will just
explode.
Okay. All right.
You'd just get a phone call. It finally happened.
He's
all over the place. Joe Mixon. What a weird year for Joe Mixon. 12th in fantasy finish. Thank you, week 9. 26 years old. RB7 off the board. Consistency rank was 11. Like, this is so... He was drafted as the RB7. He finished as the RB12. He had a consistency rank of RB11. So later on, when we're not doing a truth episode, the story might be a lot different than what we talk about here to contextualize the year. But this, he had 7% great games, 47% good, 13% bust, missed time due to injury. Yeah. You know, we just got done with a playoff matchup where Samaje Perine outsnapped Joe Mixon, 43-23.
I was going to bring it up.
I'm really concerned about Joe Mixon's long-term value. He does not carry much dead cap. He could be cut with $5 million this year, I think $3 million the year after that, and he has not really been very effective. He has not shown them that he's worth $12, $13 million a year, which is what they're paying him right now. Obviously, you have that game, the game. The game that Andrew remembers clearly because he got to play against him in week 9 where he went off for 50-plus fantasy points and was miraculous. From that point on, and that was the middle of the season, he had one game with 15 fantasy points the rest of the way. And then, like you said, you saw in this last playoff match where he was being out-snapped by Samaje when they were in a close game where everything mattered. I think the team was kind of showing that there are situations where they think Perine is the better option or just as good as Joe Mixon.
It's strange because this was a year where he set his career high in receptions. 60 receptions on the year, 441 yards, half as many touchdowns on the ground as last year. Right, last year was his only double-digit year at 13. He was back to 7. Lower yards per carry on the year. Far fewer carries, a lot of that due to injury, but didn't, you know, he's at 814 rushing yards. And you look at the situation, he's 26 and a half years old. I don't think Joe Mixon is done. And you say, well, what offense would you rather be a part of?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a very, I think the wounds of having Joe Mixon this year will make a big mark in next year's drafts.
He'll still be a second round pick.
Yeah, he'll be a good enough pick. And I do think that as time goes on and you look back and you say, oh, he was a running back one last year. He's 26 years old. He's still got 2 years left on his contract. I think there's going to be a really rosy narrative that could be painted for Joe Mixon. That's why.
Could it be true then?
It could be true. I would bet against that being mm-hmm. true, which is why this seems like the perfect time for me if I am a Joe Mixon manager to try to cash in. Trade for
in Dino.
Youth in Dynasty and get out of my future, you know, capitalize on what Joe Mixon has done and not be holding the bag when it runs out.
Yeah, Joe Mixon feels like a tier of running back that will happen in redraft where the main guys are gone. The people who always want a running back first or to, you know, just stock up early, which I get it. It feels like Joe Mixon will be a guy that I want someone else to draft Joe Mixon so I can get a better wide receiver.
Perine's not under contract for next year. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. We'll see what they do at the backfield. Maybe they are a team that invests in a middle-round pick. Would you rather have Joe Mixon, I assume, over a Dalvin Cook in a dynasty league?
Yes.
Just simply due to the age?
Jason's not sure. I'm not sure. I think I would rather have Dalvin Cook than Joe Mixon, personally. Mixon has been very inefficient. I mean, his workload and expectation this year was everything you could have hoped for and dreamed for when he was on the field, and he disappointed too much.
I was talking to a good friend of the show, Paul Charchian, who is fantasy football legend. He's a Minnesota guy, and just getting the sentiment up there. And this is just sentiment, of course. This is like media, fans. Things inside the team can be completely different. But he was telling me the sentiment is Dalvin Cook is either gone or heavily restructured just to come back next year. And with Adam Thielen as well, the Thielen one makes sense. But
the Ezekiel Elliott plan.
But it just, well, Zeke didn't have to restructure.
No, he will.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story. I'm saying it's the same story for this offseason.
Right. And if Dalvin,
you want to come back, you better give some money back.
And it's like if Dalvin Cook goes back to the Minnesota Vikings for less money, he's still Dalvin Cook on the Minnesota Vikings, and you're not as concerned about him. But it's like if that is a conversation that's going to happen, will Dalvin Cook, is he the type of person who accepts that is the scenario he's in? Will you say, fine, release me, I'll go find another team? There's just a lot of variables up in the air with him right now.
I could see him taking a Melvin Gordon route and going to a different team, having some fantasy relevance.
Going to Chicago?
Sure. But, you know, that's his potential dead cap this season would be $6 million if they cut him. Now, there is a big difference here between the Vikings and the Bengals. Bengals have plenty of cap space. So while a lot of that, I'm sure, is going to be going to Joe Burrow, they don't need to get out of Joe Mixon. I would expect him back. So that's interesting to hear that from Churchill.
I assume you guys saw the news, too. The NFL just announced the salary cap for next year, $224.8 million, $16 million higher than last year's cap. Yet another way the cap is somewhat of an illusion for teams between restructures, cap rising, highest ever. I think Mixon's year, you know, finishing at 12 with missing that many games of injury, that will be part of the positive narrative next year, being attached to a good quarterback. Certainly, we know that touchdowns, they are a fluctuation. So I think there's still some good years.
Yeah, he'll be good. He won't be elite.
It's just so crazy that 25% of his fantasy points came in that one game.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, against me. Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders came in at 13. What a strange fantasy story Miles Sanders will be. RB 31 in the draft, so Miles Sanders was a huge value. 25th in consistency, 41% good, 18% great. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
47% bust. That means 50-50 shot that you were going to get 7 or fewer points from Miles Sanders. Mike, I don't know if there's a player you shook your head more at than Miles Sanders this year, because when he was having one of his big games and the team was relying on him, he always delivered when relied upon.
Yes.
And wasn't always relied upon. And we watched the playoffs. You know, Kenny Gainwell is an explosive, talented player.
He's looking so good.
The team was still willing to give important carries to Boston Scott. So what do you do with Miles Sanders? This is a 50-50 bust. You know, 50% of the time you were happy.
I mean, it.
Best offensive line in football.
Number one, he's a free agent. So him and David Montgomery, what happens with them? Do they go back to their team? Do they go out and try to secure the bag and get an opportunity elsewhere? And so those, I don't feel like I have a good read on what Miles Sanders will do. But he will be, I mean, if he is, in fact, brought back, then if he is drafted accordingly, which is drafted as a, I mean, that's like a dead zone running back, then it's perfectly okay. Maybe you have a break glass in case of emergency plan of, I can get Miles Sanders in the fourth round, and I know that I'm going to be flipping a coin if it's good or bad.
Jason, who are you more excited about in a dynasty format heading into this offseason, Miles Sanders or David Montgomery? Who would you rather put on your roster today as of this recording?
David Montgomery.
I agree.
Yeah, Miles Sanders, we don't know that he is going to be back as an Eagle. I don't think he'll get a massive payload and a massive workload for a different team. And he's talented. I mean, what is the truth about Miles Sanders? He looked great all year. Ran for 4.9 a carry, was awesome. Not necessary for the Philadelphia Eagles offense. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes they just flat don't need him at all.
So, and you have, he's running behind PFF's number one offensive line. And when a running back goes from that, should they go to a different team that is nowhere near that ranking, and then all of a sudden that running back starts to look not nearly as stellar, don't be surprised.
Yeah, the thought is maybe he goes out and gets a 2 to 3 year deal the way that James Conner did when he left Pittsburgh.
Sure.
That could be the situation for Miles Sanders. I do think he's a talented player. And I actually think, you know, barring injury, he could hold up as somebody's primary running back. But does he end up in a situation where all of a sudden Miles Sanders is the backup to Austin Eckler or something like that this offseason? I don't know what that market's going to look like. Najee Harris came in at 14.
Oh, man.
Finished at 14. Consistency was 18. The consistency in the first half,
ooh,
38.
Bad.
And yet, here we were with Najee Harris on a bad offense, salvaging his season. Now, drafted at RB6, finishing at 14, not what you wanted, but
the second half of the year,
it was great.
He was great. Our consistency metric, he was number four. I mean, he never really had terrible games and often was very good. It looked like he finally got healthy, and it was really after that bye week. I don't know if the
I think they took a plate out of his foot. Or no, he stopped playing with the plate in his shoe, if I remember that correctly.
It was a difference. It certainly was a difference. And he, you just saw it in the way he ran, the yards per carry, the aggressiveness. It was a massive difference. I don't know where this team is heading offensively. 35% good game, 6% great. So you didn't win weeks because of Najee Harris unless you somehow played him the final week of your fantasy season. But still, some hope and optimism, especially if you're in a dynasty format and you're saying, I'm watching, I mean, Mike was one of them. You're watching Najee Harris maybe expire in front of your eyes.
After a freaking great, great rookie year of, boom, blue chip foundational dynasty running back for a handful of years. Second year, it felt like it already expired. You're like, I should have traded Najee. Oh, no.
No, I really like Najee going forward. You've got an offense that, even though Kenny Pickett is never going to be something special and
what
have
they,
an elite
what do they
offense,
do there?
It's still a situation where he'll get better. The offense should be better next year for sure. And Najee is still young. I think the arrow points up over this season for next year. And I'm I'm probably going to be far more in on Najee Harris in year two with Pickett than I was coming into this season.
Do you view him as an RB1?
I will probably have him as an RB1 next year, certainly.
I think he's right on the more upper RB2 category for me. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I would agree. Back end RB1, still getting a ton of volume. And in this year,
I feel real cozy with him as my RB2. I'll put it that way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the ultimate RB2 on a team that might not score as much as other teams.
Yeah, when you were saying you didn't win because of Najee, that was my first thought, was he is a perfect running back too. He's not the guy that's going to go out and try to put up 40 points, but you've got just a solid position slot filled.
And we got to deal with what felt like the first year ever of the doubts of, like, is Mike Tomlin going to go to a running back by committee? Because Jaylen Warren, the undrafted rookie's got juice. He looks fast out there. And, yeah, he started to get some more work. But it never turned into a committee. It was Najee when he was available. So to be able to fight that off, there is a ton of confidence. So just real quick, because you said Kenny Pickett, and I'm saying, well, what do you do here with a quarterback that, let's see, started – what, 10 games or so? Maybe a little bit more. But he finished 2,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
That's awful.
And he played, yeah, I guess he missed 4 or 5 games.
The quarterback play in that division outside of Joe Burrow was very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson over the back half of the year, this was smash mouth. But this was not – aired out modern football.
But it's like, are you stuck with him, or do you think they try to find an ejection seat?
The hard part for me is the nature of the Steelers organization and the decisions that they make. So I think this is not the kind of team that, you know, the Jets owner will come out and say, I'll trade anything I want for Aaron Rodgers. That's not the Steelers.
Right.
You know, I know last offseason we were rumoring or, you know, talking about the Steelers. I just think that they're the kind of team that wants to build some. Maybe they'll build competition in the draft. I don't know what they do. I don't think Kenny Pickett showed enough to say he's the future, but I don't think he showed so little that you can't give him another shot.
Okay.
I think the dump trucks days are over. Leonard Fournette comes in at 15.
Oh, man.
Finished at 15, drafted as RB14. Consistency was 15, so right on the nose. Had some games, caught some passes. That was kind of the highlight there. 83 targets, 73 catches. Don't look at the rushing yardage. Don't look at the rushing touchdowns. But, you know, 13% bust, 40% good, 7% great. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a $1 million dead cap to get out. So, is he even on the team? If he's on the team, does he have a quarterback that's going to check the ball down over and over and over and over? Probably not. The only situation that I like Leonard Fournette's situation is if Tom Brady is back and Leonard Fournette is back.
I don't even like it then. Not another year under the – with how good Rashad White looked, I don't even know if I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best case scenario. I don't think there's any situation where he finds another team that just says, man, Leonard Fournette was the number 4 overall pick in – 2017, he's great. I'm going to make him the dude of our franchise. No, it's not happening. He hasn't looked great. He's just been a solid veteran who catches a lot of passes, and that helps a lot in fantasy.
Should fantasy managers go out and while he is still a Buccaneer, try to make a move for Rashad White? Like, do you believe in the future of Rashad White enough to be the bell cow on this Tampa team in transition?
I don't believe in the future of the Buccaneers offense, so I have a hard time saying I want to invest in any of those pieces there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's more about the talent of Rashad White. You know, there's some offenses that we do not believe in. We just talked about Pittsburgh. You know, Breece Hall, that offense, didn't believe in that one. I guess I'm just curious if you think Rashad has the... Because it seems like you could get him now, obviously for a price that's cheaper than... If Fournette departs.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have Rashad White than Fournette, and you might be able to actually get that done in a one-for-one trade the veteran with the bigger name, with the better history for the up-and-comer. I don't know. Most leagues probably wouldn't do that deal straight up, but you could try, and I would rather have White. But I still just don't think I don't think Brady's back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and if he's not, it's probably going to be very lousy.
Kenneth Walker, 22 years young. RB37 in the draft, finishes at 16. Had a game and a half missed due to injury. Consistency rank was 14, but number 7 from weeks 5 and on, which is really, you know, that's past Rashad Penny's injury. Rookie time, acclimation, detonation.
That's what matters for Kenneth Walker, is when he became what he's going to be. Because I think we all project that what he spent this season doing without Rashad Penny is the role he's going to find himself in next year. And so from that point on, being the consistency rank number 7, being absolutely fantastic with very few bust games, and you know, from that point on, 8% of his games were busts. And he's talented. You watch it on the field. You go, oh, there's a reason why this guy, you know, some people were liked him more than Breece Hall coming out. He was a fantastic prospect. He's on a team that wants to run the ball, who now magically was able to fix their offensive line. And the future is very bright for Kenneth Walker.
Yeah. One of 8 rookie running backs since 2011 with 1,000-plus rushing yards, 9-plus rushing touchdowns, and 35-plus targets.
And those 8 rookie running backs, it's a pretty good list to be in.
Barkley, Taylor, Zeke, Doug Martin.
Dude, I mean, Doug Martin's
rookie season was stupid.
Doug Martin had his time.
1,454 yards. The muscle hamster can only run so long, Mike.
Yes, I get it. And then, so Walker, 17 15-plus yard runs. That's the third most among running backs and most for a rookie running back since Saquon. He was a huge play guy out on the field. And like, their offensive line can get even better. They were ranked where I lost it. It was like 27th.
Yeah,
PFF 27th. Had them ranked as 27th. So that can improve as well. I mean, I don't think we're going to get to the point where Kenneth Walker is a top 3 pick, top 5 pick. I don't think he'll be there. But he's kind of like he seems like he might be the best running back 1. That is not part of the true 3 down guys.
I will be curious who you right now you prefer in a dynasty format between him and this next guy. Travis Etienne at 17, 24 years old, was drafted as the RB17, finished there, consistency rank of 23. The first half it was pretty good. Second half consistency was not so good.
His season was all over the place.
It really was. And 35% bust games, 35% good, 18% great. What was your takeaway? What's the truth about Travis Etienne for you? He was 5.1 yards per carry, which was right between Pollard and Nick Chubb. So that was incredible. 9 yards per reception. Explosive player.
Yeah, to give him kind of the same benefit you're giving Kenneth Walker, since this was basically his rookie year and he started the year with, you know, James Robbins, a similar situation. You look at week 5 on, and our truth score, he was the running back 16, so not quite as good as Kenneth Walker. You thought you had something unbelievably magical when he took over, and then he had back-to-back-to-back top 10 running back performances. It seemed like
he was 40-yard runs every week.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like he was going to be, you know, a top 3 dynasty running back. From that point on, week 10 and on, you know, he had basically one very good game left. You know, one game over 15 fantasy points.
And that was against Houston.
He got knocked out of one, right, due to injury?
He did, yes. Yes, and yes, he played early in that game, was removed.
8% of snaps in week 12.
Right, but then wasn't injured and came back and played fine the next week. But there was a lot of concern with the foot because that was the issue that he was working through. Now, he was an incredible college prospect. I really loved him coming out. He showed enough flashes of brilliance in those long runs that I am a believer in him going forward. He's on an offense and a team with a quarterback that should just keep getting better. So I'm in on Travis Etienne. If you say, who would I rather have between Kenneth Walker and Travis Etienne, it's Kenneth Walker, but it's not an anti-Travis Etienne.
I mean, you get a couple years back with Kenneth Walker. They're essentially the exact same size as players as well.
Like so their least, weight?
Yeah, their height and weight are very, very
That's
similar.
Wild.
They, at least Walker's listed at 5'9", 211. Etienne's listed at 5'10", 215. So, you know, they're very similar in size.
No one gets blown up the way Travis Etienne.
But there's a reason I called him the work pony is because he looks like he explodes.
There were like eight plays I can think of on the season where a running back got hit and went backwards 5 yards in the air. And I think seven of them were Etienne.
It's true. Alvin Kamara, what's the truth about this guy? 18 is where he finished. Drafted as the RB8, one of the big busts. I mean,
huge bust.
If you were drafting, okay, go back in time, mix in Alvin Kamara. Both of them ended up much lower in fantasy finish than where you drafted them. Who would have burnt you more?
Oh, Alvin Kamara. Yes. Alvin Kamara was atrocious. He did not do hardly anything good for you. 7% great games, that's not a good number. Only 33% of his games were good, that's not a good number. 33% of his games were flat out bust. That's a bad number. His efficiency metrics on a per touch basis were not like what Alvin Kamara has seen the rest of his career. Now he's getting older, and you could say, well, maybe he has lost a step. You could also make the argument, look, this offense was incredibly injured. You didn't have the quarterback that you should have had in Jameis Winston, so they had to go to Andy Dalton. The receivers all went down to injury. You know, you lost Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry, and for a while, Chris Olave. And so, yeah, you're going to focus in on Alvin Kamara. But at 27 and a half years old, on an offense that, to me, does not seem like they're just going to snap their fingers and get it together, I find myself very pessimistic for a bounce-back campaign ever again from Alvin Kamara.
6 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 seasons for Alvin Kamara.
What? No.
These are the numbers in front of my face. Unless I'm reading something wrong.
He had 2 this year and 4 last year.
So that is a concern.
What?
Yeah.
How long ago was the Christmas Eve game?
To 2020.
That was 2020?
So I just want to highlight, like, you've gotten 6 touchdowns total. In 2, you talk about Mixon, he had 7. You're like, it wasn't 13 like last year.
Woof-da.
He had 2 this year. And he's also not, like, he's always been pinnacle efficiency. He's been at 3.7 and 4 the last 2 years. The reception totals that were always 80 receptions, 47 and 57. So it does seem like you're entering the twilight of Alvin Kamara's career.
Did something happen after 2020, like, did someone leave the team?
Well, no, yeah, the arrival of your hero, Jameis Winston, point in time.
Hey, I would take that if they would let him play. Instead, they're like, no, we're going with Andy Dalton.
So, yeah, Who Alvin knows? Kamara in a dynasty format.
This.
You are just Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara?
Dalvin
Cook.
Dalvin Kamara? Would you take him over both?
Sure.
I think if Dalvin Cook gets cut, which is a lot of alliteration, I would still prefer where he goes to Alvin Kamara's situation.
And legalities.
Here's what happens.
Unfortunately, you have March 1st is the assault case for Alvin Kamara. That there's video of it, so that likely turns into a suspension. I have no idea. Is it 1 game? Is it 6 games? Don't know.
I would rather talk about my made-up scenario. Is Devin Singletary under contract next year?
He's a free agent.
Excellent. What about the brothers?
Ooh, what the
you talk about him leaving Minnesota. Devin Singletary's a free agent. What if you put the brothers together in Buffalo? Dalvin and James.
I like it.
It's pretty fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
I'd probably be a little freaked out as a Dalvin Cook manager,
yes,
though.
I was going to say, it probably wouldn't be the best situation for his fantasy.
Yeah.
Totals.
Finishing up here, we already talked about Zeke, who was at 19. We talked about it on the last show. So James Conner ends our show. I mean, he's great. James Conner was great.
He was so good.
And he's a player that you'll look at 6 months from now, 5 months from now, whatever, and you'll say, oh, he finished at 20. Oh, he's old. But when he played football this year,
in the second half,
he was really good.
James Conner was one of those guys that destroyed my teams because I was all the chips were in on James Conner. The entire offseason, I couldn't believe his draft value. He felt like he was plummeting for a guy who was coming off a huge performance. Things had not changed. If they had changed, they'd gotten even better in James Conner's favor. He's going to score so many touchdowns. So I'm drafting him everywhere. And then the start of the season is just atrocious, followed up by a lengthy injury. You missed three games. So by then, I mean, your teams are already, you're having to make decisions about, what do I hold on to this guy? My teams are already wrecked. And then by the time he comes back, you don't have him anymore, and he has this huge run, takes people to titles.
Number one, Jason. Number one over the second half in terms of consistency rank.
Yeah.
The truth score.
He was unbelievable in the second half of the year. Now, part of that is the fact that one player that was absent was Kyler Murray for a lot of those games. Kyle was looking up some of the splits as to how James Conner has been over the last 2 years with Kyler and without Kyler. It's drastically different, and it's primarily because of the opportunities. In games with Kyler, 14.8 opportunities per game. Games without Kyler, 22.5. Now, some of those games, you know, it's a smaller sample, 9 games without Kyler. Some of those games were when he lost Chase Edmonds as well and had a bunch of carries, but I do think there is some validity to this, where when Kyler's not there, James Conner became kind of the focal point of the offense. He had to. The offense ran through James Conner with a backup quarterback in place. That being said, to start this next year.
Yeah, it's
going
to be there to begin the year, probably.
It's going to be a backup quarterback, and you know they're still paying James Conner quite a bit of money. We'll have to see what the offensive system. There's going to be a lot of offensive change in Arizona, but what we do know from the end of the season is that James Conner was a very effective running back once again, and you know,
RB5 from week 9 on.
Can catch the ball, can score touchdowns, can move a pile, and will be valuable without Kyler.
All right, what's the truth about Jonathan Taylor? Give it to me in a couple sentences here, since he finished at 35, but obviously the number one pick off the in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, the second half when he started to get healthier before then re-aggravating the injury, he was consistency rank of 9. He's a very good running back. Just had a cleanup procedure on the ankle. Betts says that this should not be a concern. He should come into 2023 fully healthy, and he'll be a top 3 fantasy pick.
Any concerns with being, you know, generally within the vicinity of Jim Irsay?
Yes.
Few concerns. Lesson to be learned on Colts players.
So,
did you ever hear the story about Josh McDaniels?
No.
And the Colts? Because you remember
he
spurned them at the altar, right?
The poop story.
Yes.
Okay, I have not heard.
First of all, if there is a poop story in football, it should be on this show. So, Jason, you have not heard this. So, Josh McDaniels, if you remember, he was offered he was going to take the job.
I do remember when he was the head coach of the Colts
for a moment
before Frank Reich, and then he just bailed on them.
The story is being reported that his wife essentially was so kind of, let's say, skeeved.
Spooked
by her interactions with Jim Irsay when he came over. He was, like, very weird at dinner and then, like, departed to the restroom for an elongated amount of time. Like the amount you spent.
Right. So a big bada boom.
Like a big boom. And then
But like a really uncomfortable amount of time
like
in a bathroom.
Like, when's he coming back?
For this professional meeting.
Right. Like, should I call an ambulance?
Like 40 minutes type of.
What? I don't do that.
No, I know. You would.
And so.
But you don't.
So they backed out.
They backed out.
That's just. I think they were talking. Was that on McAfee? They were talking about that.
Yeah, I don't remember where it got reported, and I don't care.
But it's because
it's.
I don't care
story.
Where it was reported. It's a true story.
It has to be true. I mean, never lost a coach due to a bowel movement, but
wow.
But they still. What are they going to do? What are they going
to
do?
Oh, you're setting. You want me to like tease you into Jeff Saturday discussion here, Mike? Mike would love it. I think you want this to happen.
Here's the thing. It's the angels on the shoulder of like
the angel and the devil,
yeah,
you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
it's not two angels, Mike.
Correct. But for the Colts, the team, the human beings that have devoted their life to the game of football, the fans who have devoted so much time and heart and energy and money into the Colts, for them, I don't want Jeff Saturday back. For the Benny Hill music playing on a weekly basis, then Jeff Saturday can go there. But
well, the Cardinals will share this music.
But like the fact that Jeff Saturday went out and did what he did, which was fail at epic proportions of the worst collapse of all time, and then the final week of the season losing to the worst team in football, and Irsay still wants to hire him as the head coach is...
That's how good of a friend he is. He's got a friend in me.
We need the FBI looking into what is happening over there.
All right, quick shout out. Damian Pierce, consistency rank of 13. Brees Hall, consistency rank of 4 in his limited opportunity.
Brees Hall, I had teased a video a while back of there was 5 running backs that finished over the 70% good threshold, and it was, well, who's the 5th one? I don't think anybody guessed it.
It was
Brees Hall, who had a down week 1, as you would expect, and then dominated.
Brees Hall will be part of the rookie review episode coming up soon. We're also going to break down the truth of the wide receiver position next time on the Fantasy Footballers.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Well, hey, thank you for listening to today's episode. You want more? Check out our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com.